Hello and welcome to Tyshar Manetherin, a Wheel of Time podcast. I'm Sam.
I'm Will.
And we're here to talk to you about the TV show today, TV show update.
Right. And so a little warning, there may be spoilers here. We typically are relatively spoiler free, except for the very end of our book review podcast. But today is a TV show update, and so it's kind of hard to avoid them. Only proceed if you're okay with being spoiled or if you've finished all the books.
Indeed.
So first off, I want to address something a little more serious and actually not related to the book or the TV show. You know, Sam and I kind of have a policy of not talking politics on our show or really even world events all that much. And so something's got to be pretty serious before we're going to feel like we need to address it. And Sam and I both agreed that it would just be good for us to go ahead and say that in regards to these recent tragedies of the Ahmaud Arbery murder and George Floyd murder.
Yeah.
We're very troubled by what's going on in our world with
Absolutely. That. Absolutely. Yeah. And you watch those videos and it's just shocking. It's heartbreaking. You know, it's just not something you expect to see in the modern era. It's scary. It's sad. And something needs to change. Definitely.
Right. And, you know, I was telling Sam, I recently watched the documentary 13th. It's a pretty good documentary. I recommend it, especially to anybody who is kind of doubtful of the racial issues that we're facing still being somewhat systemic. Still being systemic.
Yeah.
I really would say, you know, check that out. Also, I just want to have an invitation to have a conversation. If you're the kind of person that is doubtful of that or just still questioning, hey, is this all racially motivated or whatever? I can relate. I was kind of there not long ago.
I was too. Yeah, this has been a bit of a turning point for me. I mean, you know, I remember there was a point maybe not so many years ago where, and this probably maybe came from my parents a little bit, you know, this like, oh, you know, is the NAACP really needed? Like, things are better now. We don't need all that. You know, we don't need this sort of thing. But then this, you know, this sort of videos we've seen recently really drive home the point that yes, in fact, things aren't equal. There still is racial injustice. There still are problems, institutional problems with our society. And, you know, yeah, as a white guy, it's hard for me on the outside looking in to see it. And then, but you have to like, I take a step back and think, yeah, I can go for a run in my neighborhood and never worry about, or any neighborhood, you know, and not worry about my life being in danger just because it's not the sort of thing that it's not a problem I've ever experienced. And that's not the case for an African-American man in South Georgia. You know, I was just out for a run. It's sad, man.
Yeah. And I mean, I think part of what drove it home for me, Sam and I are from Georgia. And so,
yeah,
I mean,
we didn't live so super far away from where Ahmaud Arbery was murdered.
And so, you know, I think when I saw that, my heart just broke for my home state and for his family. I'm a data guy. I tend to be kind of like, you know, when people tell stories, I'm like, well, obviously that's a problem, but is it really indication of trends? And so, you know, when I see these individual stories, I used to just kind of like say, well, that obviously is terrible, but is that really a big problem? Well, it is. And I think more recently, I've been able to see that things are very obviously pretty terrible for people of color when, you know, they're 2.5 times more likely to be killed by police than white people are.
Gosh.
And man. Whereas one in 17 white men in America will have done some kind of prison time or jail time, one in three black men will.
Gosh.
Also, the statistics on the length of sentences for the same crime are staggering. And these are things from our Department of Justice. These aren't things put out by any lobbying group or anything. And you can look these up yourself if you're doubting them. I'm not making this stuff up.
Yeah.
It's something that I've really had to come face to face with in my own life and realize that, you know, like you're saying, in my privilege, I've kind of been just kind of ignoring this and kind of acting like, okay, well, this isn't.
Yeah. You know, for me, it was always, well, I'm not a racist, you know,
I
vote a certain way. I have black friends. I know black folks that are real great, but that's not okay. Obviously there are folks that are racist and that's for sure a problem. When folks talk about white privilege, it isn't just an institutional racism. It isn't just the people that are racist that have white supremacist tendencies or wave a flag or anything like that. It's a systemic societal problem where just merely by virtue of the color of your skin, your whole world is different in a lot of ways. I mean, that really does seem to be true. And I mean, just given the statistics you've talked about, you know, thinking of job opportunities, I mean, these are real things that it doesn't have to be about literally being a racist person who has these views. Just by being the virtue of being born who we are and where we are, we have a certain set of circumstances that are different.
Right.
Things that can be done to change that. And, you know, I think that it's hard, again, sitting here on a podcast about the Wheel of Time, to say, what can we do to fix this? You know, certainly it's hard to think, well, is there anything I can do? But we can do things like this. You know, we can say, I believe that there needs to be change. You know, I believe that the laws need to change, that there need to be laws in place to protect folks when they're arrested by the police or when the police get involved in a situation. Right. You know, there's like just general steps that need to be taken. Like,
right. You know, I've seen some good blogs, people who are smarter than me explaining, you know, hey, here are some practical steps you can take.
Sure.
I think things like finding out if your local police require body cams, if they do de-escalation training with all of their officers when they first come in, those kinds of things. And just writing to local government and saying, hey, these are good things for everybody. This is good because the body cams can also protect police if they indeed were doing the right thing in a situation and they're accused of doing wrong things. At the same time, they should be helping to decrease and of course help prosecute against cops who do fall outside the bounds. I don't like the fact that right now it's become this thing that, oh, if you're for this, then you've got to be against police. Yeah.
I was going to say that it's no one saying that police have an easy job or that every police officer is to blame. It's an institutional problem,
right,
rather than an individual problem. And there are bad apples, and of course there are good cops who walk a beat and know everybody in their neighborhood. No one's saying there aren't. Of course there are.
Right.
But it's at a societal level, the fact that this sort of thing can happen and there aren't necessarily repercussions. Now, of course, in the cases of George Floyd, it seems like there are going to be repercussions. But you got to ask, would there have been if there wasn't a video? Would there have been if there weren't people protesting on the streets? And there absolutely have been situations in the past where there was no repercussions at all. Maybe. Right. Administrative leave or something like that. Ultimately, if someone is murdered, there has to be repercussions or have to be consequences. You can't, like, it doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter anything other than the fact that someone was murdered. An unarmed man was murdered.
One of the things that I see friends of mine who I love and respect, you know, they'll say, I'm just not convinced that these were racially motivated. I just want to address that. I know we don't want to spend too much more time on this, but because that's something that I think I've kind of questioned at times before.
Sure.
Like, you know, looking at this is like, okay, well, yeah, sure, this was awful because a person was murdered. I think this is kind of some of the motivation behind people that say all lives matter instead of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is that they're wanting to say
to change the conversation a little bit, and it's not helping.
It isn't at all. When I hear people say these things, like, you know, I'm just not convinced that George Floyd, for example, was racially motivated. I also feel like that misses the point, because even if you somehow could demonstrate, you know, we can't prove it one way or another.
No.
I don't think that either, you know, the men that gunned down Ahmaud Arbery or the fellow that killed George Floyd got up in the morning and said, I'm going to murder a person of color today.
Right.
You know, I don't think I don't think that was their, you know, I don't think that was the way their mind was working. I do think that almost all of these cases, and there are many, many more, that have happened that I've seen that have been pretty frustratingly clear cut, where it was just a matter of a cop being more jumpy around a black person, mm-hmm. and making a bad
choice. It could come down a lot of it could come down to training, just the general mindset right. of being a servant rather than a member of the military, sort of, which exactly. is, it gets back to the militarization of yes. our police force. And I just want to say to our listeners, if this causes us to lose listeners, that's okay. But before yeah. you go, like Will said, I just want to echo what Will said about this. Please do engage with us a little bit. We want to hear why you're upset, why you don't agree. Okay, obviously we're talking about something that's not related to the Wheel of Time, and that's fine, you know. But if we've touched a nerve, we want to know why, because for better or worse, Facebook does tend to become an echo chamber. You know, you right. because of the way the algorithms work, you surround yourself with people who agree with you. Although I've sort of tried to fight against that. I have a few coworkers from my old job that don't agree with me that I've actively kept on my feed just to kind of get right. those opinions. But I am curious. I do want to know if you think we're missing a point, or you have a real disagreement with what we're saying. We want to hear about it, because I really do think that this is a problem that has to be addressed, and I would love to understand right. why you don't think so.
Yeah. And so, you know, you can email us at stuff@tsmpodcast.com or go to our website. We'll mention it again at the end of the podcast for, you know, just it's tsmpodcast.com. We've got yeah. a form you can fill out there, you know, or contact us on any of the socials. We're not going to be angry with you. We want to hear from you.
No, not at all.
I think if any of our listeners know us, they know that we're pretty lighthearted guys. And so we just would love to be able to, you know, use whatever small platform we have with this.
Right. For better or worse, this is the platform we have to communicate with folks. And, you know, this is something that's been on our hearts and minds lately and something we wanted to talk about.
Yeah. So appreciate you guys, you know, listening to us for a bit. I'm sure a lot of you guys are feeling the same way. And those of you who don't, we would love to hear from you. We are going to talk about the Wheel of Time now.
We are.
I will say something unrelated is that there is a thunderstorm going on right now where I am.
I heard some thunder. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm near a window. So if you hear that.
Some ambiance, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right. Well, and this is like crazy probably to a lot of our listeners, but I've only recently read the first Mistborn, and there's a line in it that is totally sexist, but if you'll just take it as just the comedy that it's intended for, is when one of the characters says, I think it's Ellen Venture, says that women are like thunderstorms. They're amazing to observe, pleasant to listen to, but a real inconvenience.
God, I feel horrible laughing at that.
I was like, okay, Sanderson, I guess, I wonder if, you know,
I wonder what his wife said about that.
Yeah, yeah, if he had to go home and spend the night on the couch after
that. Right, right. He just committed to it anyway. Yeah, you know, maybe right. when we get through all the Wheel of Time books, we'll dive into Mistborn or the Way of Kings, because the Way of Kings is, man, that is the ones that have come out. So I think there's three of them that have come out so far. Excellent. So good. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
Not say enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, with Cosmere being discussed for its own
right.
media franchise, it'll be interesting to see where that ends up. So, all right. Well, enough of that. There's, you know, not been a ton of major updates. Just it's kind of like last time. We're kind of in this holding pattern because of COVID. But right after we recorded our update last time, and it was actually before we released it, so it was kind of out of date, Daniel Hitty did his Q&A. So this was over a month ago at this point. Pretty much every other podcast and outlet has discussed this, so this isn't new info. I just thought it was funny. The big controversy, as it were, was how he pronounces the name of Alain Mandragoran's character as kind of a lawn kind of. It's kind of, it was almost, I thought it sounded more like lun, like, but love some it. People were putting it lawn, like lawnmower.
Right, right.
But as we know, if you've listened to our podcast, Galadadred Damadred is Mr. Lawnmower. Galadadred.
It's true.
So he did a Q&A. You can, I think you can still see bits of it on his Instagram. He's a YouTuber. He was before all this. And so he's very active on social media. He actually posts some funny things now and then. He did a funny video where he put three of himself on the couch And one of them was playing guitar and the other one like looks annoyed and gets up and leaves. And and he says, I'm getting annoyed with myself during quarantine or something like that. He talks about, you know, that the quarantine has been good for him as playing the character because he's been able to read the books in his downtime.
I hope all of them are doing that. Jeez, yes. That should be a requirement.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we know that the show is going to be different from the books, but obviously we very much would like for the characters and especially the people playing them, you know, to be able to say to the characters be informed by the books, obviously, but for the people playing them to be able to say, you know, there's this moment in the book that they do this. And I'd like to kind of bring that.
Yeah. As opposed to like, I think that Len would do X, Y, and Z. No, we have evidence to say he would do ABC instead. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really, that's like, just like in the Marvel movies, you know, when Brie Larson was cast as Captain Marvel, she tweeted out a picture of a stack of comic books. And it's like, see, that's exactly what you need to be doing.
You know, one of the big takeaways is he just bragged a lot about the set, about how great the set looks. Huh. And over and over again, just said, you know, he can't talk about much, but he just wanted to really emphasize, you know, how the production quality is really there. And so, you know, that was my biggest like takeaway and kind of was probably just how impressed he was. And we've heard that from several people and I'm starting to believe it, I guess. So
yeah, if they ever get back to recording again.
You're right. Yeah.
Filming.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we had Zoe Robbins, the Power Ranger, playing Nynaeve.
Oh yeah. Which she was like interviewed by like New Zealand TV or something, right?
Right. Yeah. She didn't speak too specifically about the Wheel of Time. They, you know, ask her about it and she kind of explained what any fan would know, you know, about it, that it's, you know, epic fantasy series based on books, that kind of thing. She was more speaking to the general New Zealand populace. So
not people who are necessarily informed about the Wheel of Time.
Right. But they did ask her about the release date and she actually, I don't know, I wonder if she was even cleared to say this much, she just kind of said, yeah, well, it was 2021, which is the first we've heard that officially from, you know, any of the cast or crew. But she says now we just don't know.
Gosh.
So, yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It's like we sort of could see that coming, but yeah, still sucks to hear it.
Right. Yeah. She did say that she wasn't familiar with the source material before being cast. And I'm not surprised at that.
Why would she be? Certainly.
Yeah, sure. You would love it if she were. But
sure. But it's OK. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, Daniel Green did an interview with Sarah Nakamura, the lore expert for the show, and kind of asked her a little bit about the story of how she got the job. It's kind of started with her meeting Rafe, and, you know, because he wanted to talk to somebody who knew a lot about the book. And then later he ended up bringing her on.
You know what? I think I want to pay you for this.
Right. Exactly. She's trying really hard not to just inform this from her opinion about the books, but really do it from here's what's in the books.
Good. That's what we need. Yeah. We don't want one person's interpretation of the books.
And she kind of emphasized that. And she also said, you know, some people have said to her, hey, you make sure that they stay on it. And she says, you know, honestly, that can't be my job because I'm not in charge.
Right. Talk to Rafe about that.
Yeah. And so she says, you know, what I can do is I can provide for them. Here's in the books where this occurs. And so she spends a lot of time, you know, putting together kind of different kind of lists.
Like research. There's a huge body of work that the Wheel of Time embodies. You really would have to get really organized to be able to answer questions quickly. Like, I could see how you would have like a massive Excel spreadsheet or database or something. Like, I would end up building some sort of web app for myself, probably. Yeah. I would end up spending way too much time building a web app, not actually using it, because that's how the way things go. But
I know what you mean. I'm going to be curious to hear stories later on when we can hear about the production process in more specificity. Mm-hmm. When she spent time with the individual actors, kind of helping maybe inform them about their characters, those especially who haven't read the books, kind of giving them a broad overview of here are the important traits of the character and here's where they end up to help.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of give them that. So, I mean, I'll be curious to kind of hear more of those specifics later on. The only other kind of major update that I heard about was somebody who kind of calculated out the possible budget. And this was kind of a reverse engineering from the Czech Republic's rebate that they offer. Based off of the amount they spent.
You gotta admire that ingenuity a little bit.
Yeah. If you're not familiar, whenever movies are made in certain countries and states, and it's why, you know, the Georgia. Czech Republic, yeah, Georgia is a really popular place because they in the US right now have the highest rebate. Czech Republic's another one. In Europe, they have a pretty high rebate for filming, and it brings a lot of business in. And so what the rebate is essentially a percentage of whatever you spend in country, case of Georgia in state, comes back to you as a rebate. And so it's an incentive to get people to come and film there. And bear in mind, this is only what's spent in country. So this wouldn't necessarily include, for example, like Rosamund Pike, her salary, because that's not spent in the country, that's paid to her. But basically, somebody was able to put together that based off of the what looks to be the rebate for Wheel of Time. So according to the figures published on the Czech State Fund of Cinematography, so it is a public kind of thing, Amazon Studios' production of the Wheel of Time TV series stands to receive close to $15 million in incentives for the first season of the show. That's a 20% cash rebate. That puts the budget for season one over $75
million. Oh, wow.
Yeah, which, man, I mean, that
for a first season especially, gosh.
Right, yeah.
Amazon is very confident. Hey, that's awesome.
But here's the thing. If that's accurate, that's only what's spent in country. So that's the crew, the sets.
Yeah.
That's not the cast, hardly at all.
Right. That's all those. All those duvet covers my wife has been buying on Amazon.
Right. Exactly. You know, this same article explains that Rosamund Pike alone is set to, as they say, deservedly receive $350,000 per episode.
Yeah.
You know, that's a few million dollars right there that isn't even included in that total. So.
Right.
And while I'm sure the rest of the folks aren't making that much, you can imagine that, again, obviously money doesn't always equal quality. You know,
that's true.
We know this many times over.
But at least we know we have good source material. There's a good budget. You know, there's good folks involved. Like, there's just enough good ingredients here for me.
Right. Here are a few lesser updates. We've got the Emma's Field set has been striked. It's been removed. There was a recent photo of the area.
Moved on to Bear Lawn, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
Whitebridge.
But yeah, the home of the Tavirin has been taken down. Likely
invaded. The White Cloaks are involved.
They just burned it to the ground.
They are diverging from the books now.
Right. Likely this is simply because they're finished filming there for the first season.
Right.
And it's just been put into storage until we return there, probably with Perrin sometime in season two or three. But that was just somebody stopped by the location and noticed, took a photo, and it's posted online. So it's just crazy to me, though. And this is always the case with TV and movies, how, you know, I think of like Edoras in Lord of the Rings was this huge set in the middle of nowhere that they had to build up. And it's just totally gone today. There's nothing there that would ever indicate to you that basically a city had been built in this location.
Contrast that with the random office building in Culver City, California, that was home to the office for nine seasons. Right. It's still there, just a random office building.
Right. Yeah. And you can stop by and take photos of. Yeah, there's lots of places like that. Other small news, two new writers for season two have been revealed. Rohit Kumar, who worked on The Walking Dead. I think he may have just worked on one episode, like writing one episode. And then 13 Reasons Why, he was listed for seasons two and three. I haven't watched 13 Reasons Why. I'm not a big fan of the premise, to be honest.
My wife watched it, and I don't like super depressing things. It seemed like it was probably well written, but
I'm sure it was. Yeah. But of course, you know, Walking Dead, I feel like that's, you know, it's a genre show, and that's something that that's been of good quality, character driven, that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
you know, hopefully that all bodes well. The other one is Rami Park. And she, as far as I can tell, hasn't been a TV writer before, but she's been working as an indie film writer director. Her latest short is described as a dark satire. So, you know, take that and put it in your pipe. And
let's just not have an episode of The Wheel of Time that's dark satire.
Yeah, I like a little bit of humor. I feel like, you know, and maybe, I don't know, maybe that'll.
Yeah, a little sprinkled in there is okay. Just I don't want a satirical episode.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
I don't want a musical number. I mean, musical numbers are okay. I don't want an entire musical episode, at least not season one.
I certainly don't, you know, I don't enjoy my fantasy being like really heavy handed in its satire of what's going on in the world today.
Exactly. We read fantasy to escape from.
Right. Oh, for sure. That, I mean, that's the main reason why. But also it dates it. I mean, like when you.
Yeah, it doesn't age well. That's true. It tends to not age well. Star Trek has kind of gotten in trouble for that, I think, recently, where they some of the new Enterprise or Discovery. I can't remember one of those. I think it was Enterprise where they had something very kind of, it was almost pointed satire of current events. And it's like, OK, that's completely out of date now and just kind of stands out a little bit too much from the rest of the show.
I was just going to say some of the Arrowverse shows have
that's true.
Heavy handed kind of, if you go back and watch them from just a few years ago, it feels kind of like, you know, this feels kind of dated now. And because this isn't, you know, as much in the zeitgeist anymore. And that was just, you know, the only thing really that I noticed in her resume. So take that for what you will. Mm-hmm. We still don't know when they'll be going back to filming. I looked and I couldn't find any news regarding that. But I did look at the COVID numbers for the Czech Republic, just looked up the raw numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
The good news is it's been improving very steadily over there, much better over there than here.
Yeah.
The number of new cases a day is in the 50s now. They've had a few days this past week where there actually weren't even any deaths from COVID. So, you know, obviously the important thing is that well people stay safe and sick people get better. You know, this TV production isn't important in the broad scheme of things, but it does seem like they're tracking with the prediction that from last month that I think we mentioned that opening either sometime later in the summer or early fall, hopefully at the latest. Call me optimistic, but I think we may still be looking at a 2021 release if they can get back in there before the end of the year, just possibly fall or like a holiday release time instead of maybe spring or summer was the original plan. So anyway,
you know, you hear about some of these shows that are considering switching to CG and you know, it's interesting. It's like, all right, if you know, my wife's been rewatching Friday Night Lights recently, like, I don't think that's a show that they should switch to CG. You know, I mean, obviously they're not filming that anymore, but like there's, you know, some serious drama. Like it would be very jarring if we had a couple of episodes of The Wheel of Time that were, you know, like really high quality CG. I don't know that I would be opposed to that. Like it would definitely be weird, but if other shows are doing it, you know, like I could see it happening if like this really gets dragged out. So God forbid, you know, there's a second outbreak or something, like you could see other shows starting to look in that direction. And a genre show like Wheel of Time, though I still don't want it to happen, I think would lend itself a little bit better to it than serious drama.
That's true. They could probably get away with it better, but
I don't want them to. I'm with you.
Yeah. You know, I'm really torn on that because I absolutely don't want them to do it. But yeah, like you're saying, if there's a second wave
suddenly we're in development hell and like nothing's getting done, like, you know, as a way to get things moving so that we can you know, just to get a season done, you know, you could see an argument there. Could see an argument against, absolutely, but I don't know. Just hope it doesn't happen.
Folks in the Czech Republic, stay home, stay safe. All of you listening.
The people at Walmart over here may not, but please in the Czech Republic.
So, Sam, did you realize that we are coming up on our 1 year anniversary of doing this podcast?
Really? Time's fun when you're having flies, Kermit.
That's a good one. I don't know if I've heard that before. And then I almost forgot about it. And then as I was writing these notes, I was like, oh, yeah, we're coming up on it here. Yeah, it's like in the next couple of weeks would be the anniversary of our first episode. So happy 1 year of podcasting. I feel like I can stop saying we're trying to do a podcast.
Yes, it's true. We are.
We are doing a podcast.
I'm sitting at my in-laws' house, like in a bedroom, doing a podcast. It's like, this is just what's happening, folks. Like,
right? Yeah,
this is going down.
I had to leave a family gathering, a Zoom meeting thing that we were doing for our one of our last recordings. So,
oh gosh,
yeah. And my parents are like, "You're doing that podcast thing?" I'm like, yeah. Okay.
Tell them all hello for me.
Yes, I will.
Will's mom was my drama teacher, and his dad was my pastor for several years.
Yeah, yeah. Folks, so
love them.
They don't listen to the podcast for some reason, but
my parents have oddly listened to a few. They're like, we don't know what's going on, but it sounds fun.
maybe I'll get them to listen to just this one.
There
so,
you go. Yeah, a shout out.
Sam, why don't you wrap us up here?
Well, yeah, if you have any thoughts, as we said before, please check us out on social media. You can find us at Podcast TSM on all the major socials and stuff at tsmpodcast.com is our email if you want to reach out to us via the electronic mail. We'd love to hear from you. You know, if you have any thoughts about what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, we would we'd love to hear that too. It's something Please. That is something that, you know, we realize we're a Wheel of Time podcast. We're not a political podcast. We're not a current events podcast, but this is something that's going on in the world right now, and it is impossible to ignore, and it's something that is important, and we wanted to talk about it, and you know, we want to hear your thoughts too. So please, if you have any thoughts, share them with us. And until next time, Tyshar Manethrin.